dangerous, dangerous thing.
Well, when Dean got done with his with the last session, I remember the first time that we went to his church and they were showing us around. It was when they were in Mr. Biggs. And the whole time that they're taking us through and showing us, I'm realizing how much of a in kind of the box girl I am. In fact, I like contentment. I can just stay in that rut, you know. I know the rut. I know every little bump in the rut, and I can just keep going. And when we left there, God just didn't leave me alone. And as I started praying and saying, okay, you know, and I'm not a creative person. I won't say that to Dean because I don't want him spitting on me. I know I didn't say it to Dean. But as I started praying, that's when God started dealing with me about changing our Sunday school department downstairs, just the rooms. And
those are great.
Thank you.
I got
you.
The tour this morning.
Thank you. And we, you know, we had just white walls and tables set up in there. And so what I did was I got a creative team around me and started talking to them and saying, you know what, I want to turn this into a mall. This is what God has laid in my heart. I didn't really know how to go about it.
That's
but
good.
If you get a team around you that is creative and you start throwing ideas out, and like you were saying, there were so many things that we thought of. Then when we would try to go down that road for a room, it didn't work. You know, it wasn't going to go together. So we'd back up, and we'd change, and we'd start talking again.
That's cool.
Yeah, we took each room by room. So if I can do it, you all can do it.
Now, what you've just heard, you need to see this right. Because while Tracy and I come as a team, and she has a staff position, you didn't hear me talking about what happened downstairs. It's one person away from me organizationally. It's two, three, and four people away from me creatively. Uh-huh. And so if you're sitting there as a pastor and you're going, I can't do this. I can't do it either. I didn't do it. The organization is one person away from me. The actual work is three and four people away from
me. That's
good. So don't limit yourself to, well, what am I going to do? Listen, steer the ship. Let somebody else worry about the rooms, right? Somebody's got to cut the wake in the river of God. And so go ahead and be that if that's what God's called you to be. And then let somebody else do that. But I got to tell you, it's difficult to take your hands off of it because everything that you do costs. And that's what we're going to ask some questions. But you go ahead and do your thing here about the cost of creativity.
Okay, so in that, then We're going to host our first women's conference here, and that will be in January. The lady that is coming is from Tennessee. Her name is Janice Spica, and this lady is no stranger to pain. She goes into every denomination and does these conferences, and when she was 15, she contracted a sexual disease. When she was 17, she aborted a baby. Her first marriage failed and ended in divorce. And then she got remarried and her husband was addicted to pornography. And in all of that, she grew up in the church, was going to, you know, sit in church Sunday after Sunday, and the shame and the guilt. She knew what she was doing was wrong. It just seemed like that those were the choices that she made, and she just kept going down that road. God started ministering to her about how much he loved her and how he saw her. And in that, and just that intimacy that he had with her, and in that, God completely set her free and healed her of all of the shame and all of the, you know, all of the pain that was in her life. She started sharing with women just one-on-one, and God opened a door for her. She travels internationally and just ministers. When the way I found out about this lady was one of our little gals that grew up in our church went off to college in South Dakota, was there and went to this conference. And she said, Tracy, if you ever have a woman's conference, you've got to have this lady. She said, I have never felt so loved and so accepted by God and felt the presence of God like I did during that conference. So you know, there's been different times that I would check it out, and it just didn't seem like the timing was right. Then not too long ago, I contacted her, and we set a date for January 4th and 5th. The reason I'm telling all of you is because Our Ladies, it is free, and Our Ladies would like to invite your ladies and all of you and anybody that travels. We want to open our homes to your ladies.
Cool. And so Friday that you and Saturday.
Can, yeah, because the, it starts Friday night. Check-in is at 6 p.m. She will start teaching at 7, and it will go till 9, and then it starts at 9 on Saturday and will be done by 4 p.m. so that you all can get home and it won't be so late. But for the ones that would have to travel, you know, or get a motel or whatever, we don't want you to have to do that. We would like to open our homes. So the reason I'm giving you this information is because if you register before, or any of your ladies register before November 21st, you get one of Janice's personal worship CDs free. And then if you register by then, that helps us to know when we hire the caterer, to know how many women that we're going to have, you know, that is available. And we want you, anyone, even if they don't go to your church and you know somebody that is hurting and just needs to be loved on, we just want to be God's hands and feet, and we want every woman that comes to this conference to feel so loved. We want to serve them. We want to love on them. And I promise you that they will not go home disappointed. Just visiting with this lady on the phone, Glenn and I visited with her husband and her on the phone for an hour and a half, and they are so humble, and just the love of God was coming through that phone. I mean, you could just tell that that they love God and they love God's people, and they want to see people set free. And when I called and asked them, and she found out that we live out in the middle of nowhere and we're a small church, she said, you know what, if you can just pay to get us here, she goes, she said, that's all that we need. She goes, we just want to see people free.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, their hearts are just amazing. Then you go to tell them the rest? Okay.
So we set the date up so that it corresponded with the first meeting in 2013 for pastors. So she's coming. Her and her husband are doing something for us as a church, and we're inviting your women if they would like to come Friday and Saturday. But they're going to do our Thursday pastors meeting as well.
Cool.
And so her and her husband are talking about ministry marriage. They're going to talk about how to go back to your own church and talk with grace and mercy about addictions, addictions to pornography to your men. And by the way, if you don't believe that's in your church, you are indeed a fool. So sorry for the strong language, but it's in your church, and a high percentage of your men are struggling with that level of addiction. And so we're going to put them in front of you guys as well. So that Thursday, the first Thursday, that is our normally scheduled rural pastors meetings, they'll be here as well. For those of you who wonder, one of the things that Dean and I want to talk about, or I want to get his input on, is the cost of creativity. You may notice that we're not going to charge for this. Here's how we approach our church. If you teach generosity in your church, then they will give generously and prepay for what God has called you to do. So I told my church Sunday, when we said, hey, we're not going to charge for this because we want no one to leave. And they said, well, if you charge, people will get more out of it. Okay, you can believe that because that's what the world says. I believe when you give things away, you're more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's me, okay? Freely you've received, freely give. So I told our church, I said, guess what? Because of your generous giving, you know, we're going to set aside a block of money, and we're going to give this away. So you represent it as our gift to the body of Christ. We're not here to try and get your people to come to our church. We're not going to take up an offering during the women's conference. We're not going to take an offering for the pastor's thing. And we're going to have them stay over on Sunday, and I'm going to tell my people we're going to take up an offering, because that's what we do in our church the same way you do. So you know, just please mark your calendars. Tracy has some brochures that you can have. You can register online. Jeremy will probably send you an email.
Just take help.
Oh, you'd have to do that from – I had to give you those addresses. in my bulk email deal is the pastor's list that you could see. Anyway, we'll send you a link. It's like newlifeeckley.com/or/women, and you can register online. Again, there's no cost to it for you to do that, but we need to know because we're going to have, we're not going to ask you to come and then not feed you. So we're going to hire some catering and do some things. You can take as many of those as you want, and if you need more, holler at us. We'll get them to you. And again, please assure your church, this is not really an evangelistic outreach for New Life. This is really a healing outreach that we want to offer. And for you guys as pastors, this is something that might open a doorway of conversation in your church to where you can go back with a bit of inspiration and information to open the subject with your leadership, with your church, however you do that. And so, you done?
Jeremy, isn't there a PDF file on the website if they can do that? Okay, so there'll be a PDF file on our website if you know how to do that, and you could print your own. Or if you want more, just call and we'll send you as many as you would like.
So let's talk about the price of creativity now. The brochure that you have in your hand, we made here. We printed here. We purchased the paper at the local shop. It's 28-pound paper that costs $10.85 for 500 pieces. So what you have in your hand is whatever it costs to print. And when we started talking about this, we had a young lady and her husband who moved back here from college last summer and joined our church. And she's a stay-at-home mom, but guess what she went to school for? And so here she is going, I'd like to be involved. So she's making all our posters and doing all the graphic design kind of stuff. And you say, well, it's not as great as what you could have paid for. Yeah, we paid free. So creativity does cost sometimes. But if you'll talk in a creative way, you'll be able to get creative people to jump in. Mm-hmm. And they'll do that. You know, we have because of our jail ministry, I got a call when I was traveling from the probation department. And they said, we got a guy with 48 hours of community service. Are you interested in him? Now, you know what that means? 48 hours of free labor. You know what he's going to do? Well, you like this. He's going to touch up every room in the church.
With paint.
With paint.
There you go.
See? Now, I got guys making a salary. This guy's going to do it for free. Now, you have to have the connections. So you say, well, I don't want the jailbird in my house. Okay, so maybe that won't work for you. But see, if you'll open your mind to how God would do some of these things for you, regardless of the size of your church, you can find creative avenues that pay for the creative things. So one of the questions I wanted to ask Dean was give us an idea about some of the costs of creativity that you have. If you're going to do an outreach and, you know, for 50 people or 100 people, what should they expect to pay? Or I don't know how you.
Well, to me, what comes with the creative idea is a creative way to accomplish it. If you're just getting the creative idea, it can always come across very expensive. You know, that's going to take a lot of money to pull that off. So to me, it's okay, God, you're leading us to do this, start this, change this, build this, paint this, renovate this. And so then you've got to come up with the creative idea. I was telling Glenn, one of our last renovations of the building we were in the carpet was just gross. It was just gross. And so we were able to pick up some carpet squares at 50 cents a square foot that typically runs $4 to $12 a foot. And so we could afford to purchase the carpet, but it was going to cost us $6,000 to get it laid. Well, we didn't have that. We, no way. But one of the things I like to do is to make things in bite size. So I just broke it down and I said, you know, could each family here give $17? Would you carpet your little three, you know, how many ever square feet? And did everyone give? No. And so here's the way I'll give it. I broke it down into palatable sizes that almost every person in my culture can afford $17. I told him, give up two Starbucks and you've about got there, you know, with what you're paying. And then, so we came in to about $4,000. We needed 55. I'm trying to remember how the numbers came out. But bottom line, we were coming up short. And here's the other thing that I am not good at, the Lord's really stretching me on, is you have not because you ask not. And so there was a businessman in our church that had said a long time ago, if you ever need anything, you let me know. Now, when I see and sign his annual giving letter, to my knowledge, he's not a faithful tither. As far as he doesn't honor the Lord on a weekly, monthly basis, he just periodically gives. So I picked up the phone, said, hey, George, I really want to have our new carpet down before we get our fall growth. Everyone comes back from vacation. I really want to have our carpet done. Would you consider, I think we need $3,000. And I just asked him, and that's uncomfortable. But I just said, hey, would you pray about this, of just helping us fund this last thing? He didn't even blink. He just said, well, absolutely. I'll bring a check on Sunday. So you have some people who are not tithers. They like to see their money go towards something specific. So your faithful people give because they're going to give if you do the offering in the middle, the end, or the beginning of the service. They're committed to honoring the Lord with their tithe. There are other people who need a project. They need kind of something visible. And so his statement, after he writes me a check for the carpet, he goes, now Pastor Jared said you needed a new soundboard. I said, I perked up. I said, yes, we do. Yes, we do. He said, how much is that? I said, I'll get you the number. And so he's already told me, hopefully by November, I will buy the church a new soundboard. So that's one of the ways of that. But then generally I would say that, let's say you said, you came to all of your team leaders in your church and you said, you became the Glenn and you set the bar. I want every classroom renovated by the first of the year. Get with your volunteers, your class, your team, come up with a plan, submit it to XYZ board member. I want to see it as well. We just want to make sure that it's not weird or stupid. And you set the bar, but then let them come up with how they're going to fund it. Well, people have A, resources. When we moved in our new house and the painter overbought and we've got 2 5-gallon things of cream paint in our basement. Well, there you go. That's 10 gallons. That would do, you know. Yeah, there you go. And so finding the resources that are within, it's picking up the rock, finding the person who does graphics, finding the person who has gifts and talents. And what's weird about church is they don't advertise it. So unless you ask and say, we need this, we have an air conditioner repair guy in our church. And so when we're in another building, I'd say, hey, Phil, you got any volunteer time on you to go check out this thing? Yep, Pastor, I can't do it this week, but I'll do it next. Okay, we're not going to fix that. We're going to suffer a little bit. It's going to be a little warm in there because Phil can do it free. And so what materials, what would they be willing to fund? What would they be willing to give? And here's the downside to it, though. I've had this idea for 2 years. Now, this fits Colorado Springs. I don't think it would work in the rural. But I go along with Glenn of I want to be a generous church. He is one of the few pastors that I know of that gives his CDs away. Most, I would say 95% plus, are selling them for $5 to $10. And I'm like, you can come hear it on Sunday and it's free. But because you were sick and couldn't be here, I'm going to penalize you and charge you $5. What today was free, but on Monday when you stop by the church office is $5, when it cost me pennies to produce. So we give things away. So one of the things I want to do is to bless our community, and I'm wanting to buy an ice cream truck pimp it out. And on the side of it, with that obnoxious horn playing, it says, free ice cream and popsicles to all kids 12 and under. And then we've bought some of the critter costumes, like you would see at an amusement park. We have two of them, Otis and Rocky. And I want those characters to be on the ice cream truck. And when it stops, we're giving away a popsicle that they charge $4 for that cost them a quarter. We're giving away a quarter popsicle. And then our two critters are jumping off and saying, come to our Rock Kids, you know, children's thing. We have children's classes. We specialize in kids at Rock Family Church. I've thrown that vision out. So here's the downside. I've thrown that vision out for 2 years. I've not had one person say, I'm all about that, Pastor. So it's a timing thing. You don't always, you know, I have a vision in my heart.
I heard you say that. It just hit me. Your guy has a truck. Oh, is he my guy? Is he coming here?
Did he come over here?
I don't know. I'm not sure I know who he is. Well, let me help you with that. You may have said that in the right place, man. He's got a guy, and I don't know. Maybe I have a guy. I just didn't know he was.
Well, I haven't seen you, bro.
There's a guy out here in the boonies of Colorado that has a truck.
He's got a panel truck.
He asked me if he wanted to, if we would take a donation
yeah.
in our church. What am I
going to do? Yeah. See. Now, here's the other thing that in understanding the price of creativity, you've got to be willing to receive. Freely you've received, freely give.
Yep.
So you've got to be willing to receive. And I'm not saying you're not willing to receive. If you don't have any use for it, I mean, parking it in his weed patch or in your weed patch, it's still in a weed patch. But when Dean says we give away CDs, see, if all you can see is what that CD costs, I think we give 3,000 or 4,000 CDs away a year. Is that about right, Jeremy? Okay. At $5 a piece, do the math quick.
Yeah,
$15,000 or $20,000, and the Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom." Guess what we do in my head and with the other people I talk to with that $20,000 benefit that we give away? We claim a return.
Yeah.
Now you say, "Well, you can't do that." Okay, just hide and watch, because we can do that. And when we started talking that way, guess what happened? Somebody came up to me and said, Pastor, so what does the media department cost a year? I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, you know, what do CDs cost? I said, well, I think we budget $300 a month for plastic. He said, well, is it $3,600? I said, yeah, that's about right, $3,600. And so every year, about 5 years ago, for 4 years, he gave us $4,000 in December to fund our media ministry. So now we're not even paying for what we're claiming benefit on. But if you don't talk about it, you say, well, we don't do a media ministry. Okay, whatever you do, it doesn't really make any difference. You know, Noel does a Halloween party, and I know every year you're essentially probably feel like you're begging for candy. You know, I mean, oh, God, have candy again. You know, see? Absolutely. Grocery bag full of candy. So it's just really important for you to realize that your first consideration of cost shouldn't be your last consideration.
Yeah.
Because there's benefit on the other side of that. And so in our church, when we started down that road, we've essentially not paid for much of anything in this church that represents our media ministry, because somebody got behind it. Somebody heard and went, wow, that's a good idea. Well, we didn't know it was a good idea, but we threw it out, and somebody thought it was, and then they threw money at it. And, you know, we're pastors here, and I don't want you guys to think that, you know, this is just some cavalier way of approaching this. It really does work when you realize that creativity is free. If you'll touch it in you, it'll touch it in other people. And so this summer, Pastor Wes and Sandra took 15 kids to Guatemala, and it cost... 20? Okay, $22,000 or $23,000. I didn't give him a dime. This church didn't give him a dime. But I had some guy come to me and said, okay, Pastor, he said, and I don't even know if you know this yet. He said, will you watch for me? He says, you let me know. He says, I'm on board, whatever they need to make up the difference. I never called him. Okay, now you say, well, what are you going to do with that guy? The next time I'm short with something, I'm going to do just what Dean did. Remember when you were willing to pay for the Guatemala thing and we didn't need you? Hello? Now, maybe we'll never need him. But see, once that door is open, then you can go back to them and go, you know, you said that, and I believe you were inspired of God to say it. But we haven't had a need because God keeps, you know, meeting our need. So let's identify why you said what you said. What does that mean in your world?
That's a good question.
You know?
On that line, that's just how this happened. It's fake.
Uh-huh.
It starts around the picture, and then you have a woman who comes up and says, I'd like to fund this.
Sure.
And she said, whenever, whatever, however, yeah. You got it. It's like, wow.
And so that's something you guys are doing. That you're making available. And Steve's got a project he wants to talk about as well. So what are you guys doing? What is this?
Built Faith is basically taking a faith-based film, offering it free to the community, where people can come and watch the movie, and then if they would like to talk and dialogue about how it is a faith-based movie. We started with Lion of Judah, then we did Prince of Egypt, and now we're doing Facing the Giants. And we'll do in December the Nativity story.
Cool. Seeing what happens, here's what happens. Most people want provision, and then they want a vision. God says, here's the vision, I'm going to give you the vision, and I will bring the provision. So until we pronounce a vision, here's what we want to do, here's where we want to go, here's what we want to accomplish. But most of us say, well, when I have an extra $2,000, we're going to get an ice cream truck. Well, I keep throwing out the ice cream truck idea because we don't have it in our general budget to pimp out an ice cream truck and to get the freezers and the generators.
We need to talk. I got a guy that does the wrap thing. So, see, I don't know what they cost, but you know, $1,000 worth of plastic on the side of Noel's free truck and we're selling ice cream.
Yeah, we're giving ice cream away. We're not selling it. We're giving it away.
Okay. Whatever. I mean, and
we're in business.
We're in business. And not to take issue with what Dean just said, but if you live in my head, when he said vision, then God brings the provision. Can you all be kind of English students with me for just a second? Do you know what pro means? Before. When does the provision show up? Thank you. You've lived here long before the vision. So, you know what we teach here? You got a vision. God's already provided the provision. It came before the vision. Just pick up the curtain of the revelation of the Spirit and take a look to see what God has hidden for you, not hidden from you.
Yep.
So you pick it up and you go, whoo, look at there. And it's just the wildest operational thing that you can ever get into. But what most people will do is kind of what Dean just said. Well, as soon as we get some extra money. Do you understand there's a difference between what's in your possession and what you own? Mm-hmm. If you've got money in your pocket, raise your hand. If you've got money in your checking account, raise your hand. If you've got money in your savings account, raise your hand. If you've got money in a retirement account, raise your hand. Okay, now, how many of those are exactly the same? The money in your pocket is in your possession right now. You can do whatever you want. If you need to write a check, it's a different set of circumstances, but it's very accessible. If you need to get money out of your checking account, you can do that. If you need to get money out of your savings account, unless you have one of those cool savings accounts where you can write a check on them, you have to do a different set of principles. If you want to get money out of a CD or a retirement account, it comes with a different level of maturity to access what is actually yours.
Yeah.
It's still yours, but if you want to take money out of your, you know, out of your 401B or whatever you have, you got to pay a penalty. It takes a decision of maturity to do that. It's still your money. So I have, $20 in my pocket. I have a checkbook. I think it's in my office. Okay? No, it's in my back pocket. I have a checkbook in my back pocket. But I could write a check to you, but unless you're willing to give me cash, I can't. So see, there's a difference between the faith trust account that God has. So when Paul says in Philippians, not that I asked for this gift for myself, but rather for the benefit of your account. Now we find there is a spiritual trust account that God has given us that many of us are going, I don't have. You do have, you just can't see it. See, that's the nature of vision, is to look for the provision. And if you look for the provision, you can find it.
Well, and God has said, He has provided everything that unto life and godliness has already been provided.
Amen.
We're not twisting God's arm to do something. He's already said, I provide. It's finding the avenue and the channel that He's going to use for that thing to be funded.
And I did a deal recently with a teenager, and I explained receiving to them. And I asked this one, I went to Pastor Wes, who was my God, and I said, God, do you have any money? And he had a 20 and a 10. I said, I'll take the 10. I took it for him. And then I looked at him and I said, can I have this? And he said, yes. And then I said, whose money is this? It's mine. He just gave it to me. So God gives it to Jesus, right? John says that what the Father has, He's given to me, and I'm going to manifest it. And so I walked over to this teenager sitting over here. I happen to know it's his birthday. And I said, you want this? And he said, no. And I went, what, are you nuts? And so I asked him if he wanted to drive my car, and he said yes. And so I let him drive my car after service because I wanted not to be shot down in my provision-based living. I went to the next guy. I said, you want this? He says, yes. I said, okay, you can have it. And I just held it out here. Now, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but guess what he did? He reached up and took it. Throughout the New Testament, the idea of receiving is a self-prompted action of receiving. So if I offer Max the best candy ever made, right, and I hold it out here like this, now, unless he has a self-prompted action of reception, all of these wonderful Reese's Pieces are going to stay in this cup. He's got to take an action of receiving. And most people, because they're so scared of prosperity movements and all that kind of stuff, that they say, well, if God wants me to have it, He'll just give it to me. Well, okay, but if He's holding it out like this and you're waiting for Him to drop it on your head or something, or you keep going out to the mailbox waiting for somebody to mail it to you or whatever, a self-prompted action of reception does this. You can do that in the spirit world. All of your problems can be solved through what God has already provided. Quit telling God how much money you don't have.
Yeah.
And there goes my sermon. Steve, tell us what you are doing here.
Well, it's not me. It's actually a gal from our church, Amanda Shea. Some of you might know her from around the area. She took some girls from the Ray area to Hoxie, Kansas, to see these gals named Eternity Focus, and was very impressed with them, and so she wanted to bring them out to the Ray community. They are four sisters that talk about purity and abstinence and boys.
Cool.
And modesty, and it's going to be a girls-only conference, October 28th, 2 to 8 p.m. They're charging because we're heathens. it's like $8, and that includes a T-shirt. So I think the $8 is for the shirt. So, and so if you're interested, we've got flyers and all that stuff you can post, and it's geared to junior high and high school girls, and moms are welcome to attend as well.
Wow, I'd hogtie every girl in my church to be there.
So here are these girls. They are really attractive little girls. So let me. The church I was at 2 weeks ago did a conference with these girls. While they were there, their mother was recovering from surgery, had some sort of setback, and while they were doing the conference, the mom died.
Wow.
And the dad was doing sound, and somebody from the church I was preaching at drove them back to Podunk, Nebraska, wherever they live. Yeah, wherever they live. And drove them there to meet with that, with their family. Here's why I tell you that, is that in the midst of a crisis that happened while they were starting this ministry, you now see they're still doing the ministry.
Yeah.
There is some depth of soul there that allows an 18 to 24-year-old young lady to still do this when what could have been the very source of their inspiration, their mother, is no longer with them. And I'm pretty sure it's the same people. Based on the circumstance. So, you know, it's worth it. So you need to avail yourself of that. Steve's got stuff for you there. So, yes, sir.
Leadership question. And that is, you know, people that have a creative bent, one of the things that can tend to happen is the creativity is almost the drug, you know, to where, you know, was it Andy Stanley, I think, or something? Well, you know, but Andy Stanley, I think, said, it's much easier to teach, how Sunday put it, it's much easier to teach a doer than it is to activate a dreamer. And so one of the things I think you've been able to do from the looks at it is you're not only just living in the world of ideas and you're not living in the world of creativity, but you're also seeing the results of it. And sometimes that means putting something on the back burner when God may have an ice cream truck waiting for you out
right.
in Eastern Colorado. Or it may be you know, something that happens instantaneously. But how do you, as a dreamer and as a creative person, how do you balance that and make sure that
it's a great question
with execution and good with that?
Here's the way I would put it. You've identified it very well. There are, in churches across America, from little to big churches, there are men and women with humongous dreams in their heart that are God ideas, God dreams, God visions, God books, God songs that have never been written, have never been instituted. So the key word that I would say that follows creativity is strategy. What is the strategy, God? Because once again, I get this creative idea. God, I'm asking for your wisdom on to fund it, and I'm asking on your wisdom on how to strategize and make this happen. What is the plan? What are the steps? Here's one area where I'm guilty. I've had a book in my heart for over 2.5 years. Told my church, hold me accountable. I need to write this book. It'll change the way, and it's for our church. It's a particular thing. And I had members come up, Pastor, did you start writing that yet? Nope. Pastor, how's it coming? Got a chapter done. It's been over 2 years. And so I know it's a God idea, but it's been an area in my... There's a personal example of where I have not found the time and the strategy or made it enough of a priority. And the thing that I know is if I don't do it, someone else will. If I'm the first one to do it, I could sell 10,000 books up to 1 million books. And I mentally go, if I could make $1 a piece, I could fund my ice cream truck. I could fund my, it'd become an avenue. Yeah. So I think strategy has to follow and common sense.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say. When I started ministry 30 years ago, are you familiar with the personality test of DISC and the sanguine, choleric, and all that? I was 94% I, the personality, sanguine. I was Mr. Woo! I mean, everyone wanted to hang with me. I had zero of the D, of the choleric, of the leadership. And so what most people say, it's just the way I am, take me or leave me. I take it now and my I and D compete. I've lowered my I, raised my D, and I've had to be tough. I've had to make, and so it's growing your weakness. It's being honest and recognizing I'm vulnerable. I'm weak. Most people, when they hear I'm a dominant I, go, you're unorganized. My staff will tell you I'm not as anal as him, but I am, but I am detail, 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 detail. Why didn't somebody think through the 14 steps so that step 15 was covered when 50 kids showed up for this harvest party? Why didn't somebody know to plan, to prepare? And so I want details. And so I've learned to equip my weakness. And that's where one of my points was, leaders are learners. That's why I gave you all those books. In 2010, I said, Lord, stretch me. I want to grow. And I'd read maybe a book a month. He had me read one book a week and not skim it, engage it.
And I can attest to the fact that he did that because I talked with him regularly during that year to find out whether I wanted to buy the book or not.
So
he would go to Mardell's to the $2 place and buy 20 books.
So
let me throw something else in on your side. When somebody comes to you who's that creative person, you need to be able to sort quickly whether that person has a vision that they want you to do.
That's really good.
You know, here's my idea. And Pastor, for you to be successful, for our church to be successful, imparted vision doesn't grow in unprepared soil. So if they impart the vision and it just goes like that, you're not the one to grow it.
Yeah.
Okay? So then you got to ask the question, how can I empower you to accomplish what God's put in your heart? If they don't have an answer for that, then you shouldn't move quite yet. Because everybody knows in our church, they say, we got to do this. And I say, how can I empower you to do this? See, that's my thing. If it's not for me,
sure.
How can I empower you to do this? They'll get the provision. If that thing is burning a hole in their heart, they will find a way to get it done.
That's really good.
So you know, and creative people are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
When you start
the
talking
critics.
About
it. And sometimes it comes across very critical.
Yeah. And we ought to be, but see, those people who have taken the time to be creatively empowered, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And those people are valuable as gold, because they'll say, I got this idea and I can do it this way, you know, or we can do it this way. I got these things. When Tracy was doing the downstairs, once we started talking about it, this lady came with these old, if you go down in the Extreme Sports store right over here, there's a set of skis on the wall. Lady came and said, I got these skis. Well, we're going to drill a hole in them and screw them to the wall. That'd be fine. I don't need them. We were in that. That was the first room we did less than a month ago or 2 months ago. People who had kind of been away from our church came back and they saw that room down there and said, could you use an air hockey table?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, we'll be over here. And so my administrator and I, and so I don't know who all went with us. We went over. Did you go? Okay, so we went over and picked the thing up. It's a full-size air hockey table. See, because they had it, that provision was hidden. They'd had that table since their kids were in school. It's kind of like when you lose your keys. Ask yourself the question, if I lost my keys and I found them, did God recreate the keys? He didn't recreate them. They were always there. So see, when you find that stuff from God, it's not the creative power of God, because He gave it to you and hid it for you, previous to you knowing you even needed it. That's why He says, I know what you need before you ask. Oh, here's a great question. Why do we spend so much time asking for stuff? I spend my time asking God, where'd you hide that for me? I know it exists. It's not, God, what more do you want Him to do besides crucify His Son, right? Well, we need Him to make this happen. He already did. Just get to looking for it. And creatively, you'll find the place where it goes. Oh, sorry.
I'm good.
Go.
Good.
You want me to hand
these out.